Nobody knew that healthcare could be so complicated.
Trump was a failure on healthcare.
Hundreds of thousands of black Americans lost healthcare insurance. That is outrageous.
And if he's president again, he would cancel insurance for millions more of us.
We cannot go back. President Biden and Vice President Harris have lowered healthcare premiums and expanded coverage for black families. They also capped the price of insulin at $35. Joe Biden is getting the job done for people just like me.
I'm Joe Biden, candidate for president, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Biden for President.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Teacher Graham Sr. was doing a bit of gardening recently when he noticed something odd in his flower bed. Graham's find turned out to be out of time and out of place and is so significant that it now resides in the Herbert Art Gallery and Museum in that city. Teresa Gilmore is an archaeologist and finds liaison officer for Staffordshire and West Midlands, and she's on the line now. Teresa, good morning.
Good morning.
What a discovery for the gardener. I mean, he might have just thrown some soil over it and carried on, but he didn't.
No, and it's fantastic for us that he didn't. He recognised that it had been worked and there were certain features, and that's why he got in contact with us at the Portable Antiquities Scheme.
How big is this stone?
It's not very big at all. So the finder has described it as same size as a two-fingered Kit Kat.
Okay, so it's tiny.
It's tiny, hand-sized.
Now, he looked at the markings on it and figured they were not made by an animal scratching away. They had to be man-made, but he knew little more. So what did he do then?
He gave us a call, and I took the phone call. In this case, he described it as a prehistoric calendar stone. And I was initially, OK, we'll have a look. He sent over photos, and when the photos came through, I recognised the characteristic features of the Owen language, because you get they're always written along a corner and you get different style lines representing different letters.
So this was the old Celtic people's version of the barcode.
Yes, almost, but it's a language.
So there's nothing new under the sun, as it turns out. Now, to find such a thing in Coventry, how unusual was that?
It is incredibly unusual. So I got in contact with various OM specialists, including Catherine Forsyth over at Glasgow University. And most of the OM inscriptions we know about, most of them are in Ireland. There's probably less than a dozen known from England and Wales, and as falls within that. So there's very few in the Midlands. There's one down in Silchester, Hampshire, and there's another over in Norfolk that we know of. So this one is the first one really from the Midlands itself.
How old do we know or think this to be?
We believe it's 5th to 6th century.
Okay, so, you know, you can speculate that there was a monk wandering about the place near Coventry, and he had his little ohm stone in his pocket, which, you know, they didn't, maybe they weren't using vellum at that point to record things. So this was some sort of message or something that he was bearing, and it fell out of his pocket.
Possibly. We do not know. This is one of the unfortunate things about fantastic finds like this. They often raise a lot more questions than answers. But this means that our specialists have a great time trying to work out what it's doing there and why.
If it turns out that this, and we'll never know perhaps how this got to Coventry, but if it turns out that there might be others similar to it, and therefore there was some sort of community around Coventry, it would suggest Irish speaking was going on in that place at that time.
Definitely. I mean, especially in around the 5th, 6th century, the area where it was found, it was within Mercia, and it was more of a pagan Mercia at this point. But you would have had Irish missionaries coming over from all the monasteries over in Ireland, trying to slowly convert the pagan Mercians.
Now, does Graham, does he have any rights? Does he get paid for his treasure trove?
It's not treasure trove. It's unfortunately in England and Wales, because it's stone, it falls outside of the Treasure Act legislation. He has actually donated it free of charge to the Herbert Museum in Coventry.
What would happen if it were to be treasure trove, if you found a gold coin, a Roman coin or something like that, which just in terms of the pure weight of gold would have a considerable value? What would happen to that coin?
Well, in England and Wales, one single gold coin would not be treasure. It needs to be two or more, and it falls under the Treasure Act legislation. Under the Treasure Act, finders have 14 days to notify the coroner or talk to their local finds liaison officer, and then we'll take them through the treasure process. If the museum wants to acquire it, they will get 50% of the value, and the landowner will get the other 50%. If the museum doesn't want to acquire it, then they get it back.
And they can sell it on the open market, one presumes?
Yes, once they've discussed with the landowner as to what cut they get and what the landowner wants.
And if you find a single coin, a gold coin, what happens to it?
Well, we would like to record it at the Portable Antiquities Scheme because we're interested in recording all archaeological finds made in England and Wales older than 300 years. But as it falls outside the Treasure Act, it doesn't need to be recorded, but we want to make a record of it because especially Roman gold coins, they're incredibly rare. These are things that are worth being recorded and ideally eventually end up in a museum for everyone to enjoy.
I mean, the point being that those precious metals, be they silver or gold, do not corrode and decay like base metal coins might do. And that's why they do survive. And anyway, do you find many things every year, Teresa?
Yes, we do. So it's the Portable Antiquity Scheme. Our team in the West Midlands, we probably deal with over 1,000 finds each year and over 100 treasure cases. Most of them are relatively small, so just a silver post-medieval dress hook or a cufflink. But there are occasional larger cases involving, say, a larger coin hoard of 30 or 40 coins. Mm.
And finally, this Ohm stone from the 5th or 6th century, will they be able to translate what it says, do you think, the experts?
Catherine Forsyth has done a translation. So we've got... So she's translated as male dumb Kyle S. Lass. Please excuse my pronunciation of Irish. Mm-hmm. And the first part of the inscription has been translated as someone's name, which is male dumb Kyle. And we're not so certain at the moment of the second part, the S. Lass. So they're still working on the second part of the translation. Mm-hmm. But we've definitely got someone's name at the start of it.
Fascinating stuff. Teresa Gilmore, archaeologist and finds liaison officer to Staffordshire and West Midlands. Thank you very much for joining us.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.